Julie Salomon is a TV critic for the New York Times and a former reporter and movie reviewer for the Wall Street Journal. Her books include The Devil's Candy, about the movie industry, and The Christmas Tree, a children's book. Salomon switches literary hats again in her new book, Facing the Wind, a true crime story. Book critic Maureen Carrigan has a review.
True crime is the queasy cousin of mystery fiction, a peeping Tom genre that makes most respectable readers faintly ashamed of themselves. Indeed, it's a genre that's faintly ashamed of itself. That's why most true crime stories trick themselves out with claims that they're going to investigate big philosophical questions like the nature of evil before they jostle in close for a prolonged view of the blood and gore. All that high-minded literary harumphing aside, two things made me pick up Facing the Wind, a true crime story about a Brooklyn man named Bob Rowe. Rowe was a lawyer, and by most accounts, an exemplary husband and father. That is, until the winter's day in 1978, when he picked up a baseball bat and murdered his wife and three children. The first thing that intrigued me was the story itself. I said true crime is a prurient genre. I didn't say I was immune to its ghastly charms. The second attraction is that Facing the Wind was written by Julie Salomon, the New York Times reporter whose articles and books I've admired. Surely Salomon could sidestep the tabloid temptations of this tragedy and get a hold of something more profound. And that she does. Facing the Wind is an oddly postmodern true crime story. By that I mean, Salomon leaves lots of questions about motivation, guilt, and identity unresolved. Instead, what she gives us is a grainy documentary insight into real people's moral dilemmas, their miseries, and their messy ways of coping, or not. This is one true crime story that forces you to look at the deep sadness of some people's lives. It's a tougher sight to take in than corpses. Relying on psychiatric and legal documentation, as well as first-hand interviews, Salomon pieces together the story of Bob and Mary Rowe, which is nothing out of the ordinary until the birth of their second son, Christopher, in 1965. Christopher was born blind, deaf, and brain-damaged. Salomon strikingly reminds us of the primitiveness of society's thinking about disabilities even into the 1970s, when kids like Christopher were routinely hidden away. Support groups, however, were just coming into being, and Mary Rowe joined one for mothers at the Industrial Home for the Blind in Brooklyn, where Christopher attended nursery school. It's this group of diverse and individually vivid women who steal the book. This support group, which has stuck together for over 30 years, originally found release in telling Helen Keller jokes and confessing to forbidden desires to institutionalize their children. Acting like a Greek chorus throughout Facing the Wind, the support group recalls how charismatic Bob, so unlike other husbands, was a full partner in Christopher's upbringing. Then it decries his fatal flaw, his failure to kill himself instead of his family. Here's a passage in which Salomon adroitly captures the ambiguity of the support group's response to the murders. The women from the mother's group didn't hate Bob, not in the first few months after the killings, but they had no desire to see him again. Their handicapped children had undermined all their assumptions about the direction their lives would take. Their friendship had helped realign their emotions. They had aided one another in altering their expectations and desires, and Bob and Mary had become their partners. Now this meteoric destruction. They were stunned by the violence and by their own devastating fellow feeling with the killer as well as the victims. In a restrained fashion that makes them more horrific, Salomon dramatizes the murders, which Rowe committed after suffering a depressive breakdown following months of unemployment. Rowe always claimed he was trying to spare his family from the humiliation of poverty, and he was found not guilty by reason of insanity. As one psychiatrist says about Rowe, however, there was something strangely hollow about him, and Salomon, rightly, doesn't even attempt to fill in that hollowness. After spending 2.5 years in mental hospitals, Rowe was released, and before his death in 1997, he married a much younger woman and had a child with her. You can imagine what the support group thought of that. all their residual sympathy for Roe evaporated. The cathartic scene at the end of this book, where the support group invites Roe's widow to one of their gatherings and mercilessly interrogates her, is spellbinding. Leave it to those battle-scarred mothers to ask all the big, intrusive questions, like, how could you marry a man who murdered his family, have a child with him? Why is it that men, even insane murderers, can always find women to love them, while so many wonderful women can't find partners? Well, that last glib question is mine, but the book invites it. Facing the Wind is an unsettling, intelligent true crime story. It's also unapologetically feminist. It's the women here, the support group and Roe's widow, and even Solomon herself, who are left to shoulder the burden of tending to the damaged living and remembering the outraged dead.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Facing the Wind by Julie Salomon.